Nowadays, information technology is an essential part of any nation-state toolkit. And yet, in the digital space, nation-states are just a few of many actors. A mastery of cyber operations can give nation-states the advantage they need to pursue their economic, national security, or foreign policy goals. But without private sector and civil society, cooperation, that mastery is difficult to achieve. Hosted by the Atlantic Council Cyber Statecraft Initiative, Season 1 of Digital Statecraft, Digital Statecraft features diverse perspectives from thinkers in academia, industry, and government. By bridging the worlds of statecraft and of streetcraft, it examines questions at the nexus of information and communication technologies, geopolitics, and national security, searching for cooperation to make cyberspace safer, more stable, and more secure for all.
Hello, I'm Trey Hurd, director of the Cyber Statecraft Initiative at the Atlantic Council Scowcroft Center for Security and Strategy, and host of this episode, Digital Defenders. Our discussion today is sponsored by Raytheon, and my guests are Mariah Kenny, recent graduate from UVA and NCCDC team captain for 2 years running from that school. She co-founded MetaCTF, a company focused on cybersecurity competitions and training. We also have Caroline Linkus, freshman and Eccles scholar at UVA, double majoring in computer science and foreign affairs, with a minor in Arabic. She's currently interning with the U.S. government. Our guests today are champions, Mariah for the second time, of the NCCDC competition, and have joined us to talk a little bit about their experience. Thank you guys both for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Awesome. So starting off with you, Mariah, I'm curious, could you talk us through the event? How is NCCDC structured? What are you trying to accomplish? And how is the team scored?
Sure. So there's three different levels to the competition. There's the qualifying round for each region. There's regionals and there's nationals. So there's 10 regions across the country. And then the winner of each region then advances to the national competition. And the idea behind the competition is basically an inherit and defend competition. So we inherit a compromised business network. And so this network represents as if you had an actual company. So there's users that are actually trying to use the services and things like that. So the students are the blue team, which means that we're responsible for defending the network. And then there's industry professionals that act as the red team or the attackers. So we are under active attack during the competition, and we're responsible for maintaining those services as if we had an actual company that we were maintaining. And then there's also injects where basically they just throw random tasks at us. So we might have to go report to the CEO on the status of our network, or we might have to add another system to the network, things like that. So basically we're scored on services and then those injects. And then whoever does the best in both those categories wins.
That's fantastic. So this is primarily a defensive competition for you guys.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
How much of the scoring or the work is split between maintaining continuity versus trying to throw attackers off the network?
That's a great question. So they kind of go hand in hand. So if there's attackers in the network, they are trying to disrupt that business continuity. So we have to identify where they are in the network and obviously try to kick them out or limit their access. And so we have a board that tells us which services within our mock company are running. And so we kind of keep an eye on that. If something goes down, we're like, okay, who's on that system? What are they doing? How can we kick them out? And so if the service is up, obviously we're still looking at those machines to see if we see any active attackers on it. But mostly we're looking at that board to see what's up, what's down, and what we need to do about it.
Interesting. So a lot of situational awareness goes into this.
Yes, for sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. So Caroline, this is your first year with the team. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us, what's it like to get involved? How did you find out about the event? And what did it take to actually make the team?
Yeah, so I am from South Carolina. And so I actually did a little bit of cybersecurity stuff in high school. I was involved on a team in high school, and we competed in a few competitions. So I knew about the team coming to UVA, knew about the national championship winning reputation and everything, which is very exciting for me. But I never really dreamed that I would have made the team. I think what it came down to, I showed a commitment throughout the year. I participated in events, showed like a really great eagerness to learn new things, and was able to kind of connect with members of the team on like a more personal level too, like communicate that eagerness to learn and like willingness to like be critiqued and I don't know, stuff like that. So I think that was a really important part of it, because coming into it as a first year in college, my technical skills aren't going to be necessarily on par with other people. So, but it was really important to me to be able to just be around it in whatever capacity I could. And they made that really easy. It was definitely for me to kind of seek out just in that beginning capacity, because this team had only been around for a year. They won their first year participating in the competition last year. And so it's fairly new, and I knew about it and sought it out. But I think we're really excited now, because now that we have a little bit of a more established place in our university community and stuff, we're going to be able to build out, kind of seek out people, recruit like that next level of talent, and just get more people involved in it, just to kind of participate, even if they aren't participating in the competition itself, but to be around us, and just so we can increase our network to an even greater amount of people.
That's interesting. So what would you say to somebody who maybe is an incoming freshman at UVA and is thinking, okay, I've got to streak the quad at some point, but maybe I'm also going to do NCCDC. What would be your advice to them as they're thinking about this?
I would say come to a club meeting. I started just coming to a general like computer club meeting and kind of meeting everybody. And I know that we're all really eager to kind of meet the next generation of people. And so I think we're going to try more this year to do that. And I know me personally, I'm really excited about that. I feel strongly like I'm a pretty outspoken person. So it wasn't hard for me to kind of like necessarily talk to them and stuff, but I know it might not be the same for everybody. So I'm really eager to kind of like bring people into it and say like, it's not untouchable. It's not, you know, you're able to do this if you just try and give it some effort. So I guess I would say just go out of your comfort zone, go out on a limb, just go to one-hour meeting and just see how you like it. You might not, and you might love it and want to do it for the rest of your life. So you never really know unless you give it a try.
Give it a shot, and it could be interesting.
Definitely.
That's fantastic. Mariah, so this is your second consecutive win. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you think was different about this year in terms of the team's strategy and preparation from 2018? What changed about what you did?
Well, first off, we actually had an idea of what we were supposed to do. Our first year was the first year that we'd ever competed at any level in the competition. So we read the rules probably like 20 times each, just to get an idea of what the competition was. And we had to reach out to people to get their feedback. So coming in the second year, we had kind of done it before. And so after each round last year, we kind of did a debrief, said, okay, what worked, what didn't work, things like that. And so we went back and we looked at that feedback that we had given ourselves and kind of tried to build off of that and fill in the gaps that we had identified. And then we also built out an infrastructure so we could actually practice. So we had some friends in the industry actually come in. We set up a mock network and we had professionals come in and attack our networks. And so then we could get that active practice in advance. And then we got feedback from them. They were like, oh, we attacked you here. And we're like, oh, how would you have detected that? This is what we did. Would you have changed that? And so getting that feedback was really important to us. And then just the practice. Because once you do it, you know, a few times over, then when you're in the actual like competition, you're like, I've done this before. I've seen this before. Like, I know what to do. So I think that made a huge difference for us too.
Interesting. How much information do you have going into the competition about what the network is going to look like, what sort of representative scenario you're going to have to play with, or is it just a total black box?
Sure. So it's different at each level. The qualifying round, we get a packet about 2 weeks in advance. Regionals, it's also about 2 weeks in advance, but for nationals, it's 2 hours in advance. So for qualifiers and regionals, we can build out those game plans for specific systems, like because commands are different across different systems and your defense techniques are going to be different. So we could build out that plan. But for nationals, you kind of had to just think about all the different possibilities and build out your game plan for that. And then in those 2 hours before the competition, divvy up the systems, figure out who's going to do what. And then it's also a long competition. So it's a 2-day, 8-hour days each competition. So you have time during the competition to kind of switch up your strategy and readjust what you have, especially in between days. So it just depends on the competition level, but then you have to kind of build out your strategy along the way.
Going to Caroline for a minute, thinking about that difference between having a couple of weeks to prepare versus a couple of hours, what's the biggest shift in how the team has to react? What are you able to do with more time that you can't do with that short turnaround?
Well, one of my biggest roles on the team this year was researcher. So I did a lot of preparation for just looking into different strategies to do things, specific operating systems, stuff like that. And so when you have the extra 2 weeks to prepare, you know what systems you're going to have, and we can split it up and say, okay, I'm going to go into this, this, and this, and find out what specific nuances there are for each of the systems and be able to really target that and be able to specify, you know, I know exactly what I'm going to do for this. But for the national competition, it's a lot broader because you don't know what you're going to have. So it was a lot of just looking at everything, kind of looking at our past experience, what we had in the regionals, thinking about what we might have in the nationals, just trying to get in that mindset of what would they give you on a business network, and then just like doing your best to adapt to the situation itself.
Interesting. Is there anything in your approach that you feel is going to be different this year in terms of thinking about that research, having been through this process now once?
I think having gone through the competition itself more than once, we will have, you know, more data points to say this was used. I just think as with anything, more data makes you more prepared. So I think it's going to really come down to that and us being able to say, and now that we've tested more specific strategies for defending certain operating systems, et cetera, we'll be able to say, okay, this worked last year, this didn't, and then build off of that and go even deeper into the research itself.
What was the debrief process like after the competition? How did you think through what worked or what got highlighted by that particular red team, thinking about this for Mariah and then Caroline?
So initial debrief was everybody getting sleep, just a quick recovery period. And then once we did that, we actually had like our minds back. We went through what worked, which, you know, we said a few things for, but really we talked about what didn't work or what we could do better the next time, kind of identifying like our weak points, our like single points of failure that we had, that maybe like too much responsibility was put on like one person and they got really overloaded. We're like, okay, next time we need to split that across people. And if only that one person had that expertise, we're like, okay, well, multiple people need to be able to learn that skill so that if we do need to divvy it up at some point, we can do that. And then also just like Caroline was alluding to, kind of referencing what systems and tools worked and what didn't work. And then figure out if there's something that we need to build out ourselves or something we need to practice more. I mean, we definitely did a few things right, but our main focus is usually on what we can do better the next time.
Caroline, what do you think?
I thought one cool thing that I remember is that is just super unique is the access to industry red teamers that you get throughout this competition. So you're actually competing in real time against these red teamers. And then after the fact, you get to actually talk to them face to face and they can say, oh yeah, like this was really good. You did this thing well. And then you completely missed this thing over here that I was just able to exploit to its fullest extent. So I thought that's really cool because, I mean, you learn by failing and you learn by doing. And so it just provides next level experience for all of us to be able to see that and see them from like years in advance of like where we want to be and have us get that advice from them.
Interesting. As you're thinking about, so staying with Caroline, thinking about competing in these competitions more broadly, what does it take to get to be really good? You know, what do you feel like you're going and taking out of this process to start working on yourself?
I came in kind of with across the board pretty basic skills and just getting to learn from everybody on the team because everybody has their area of expertise. Like I mostly do research for the Linux side of things, but getting to talk to people on the Windows side too and just be exposed to that is really important for me because I just want to have the broadest kind of like experience with everything I can. In addition to that, like the communication skills needed for this, it's really, this team is kind of unique from anything I've ever participated in before because you have all these people with high level technical skills. And then for me to be able to observe Mariah kind of managing those skills and getting people to work together in a way that works for the team is really important because you can have, you know, one person on your team who knows how to use something at about 50% level and someone on another team who maybe knows how to use it at 75% level. But if you team up with someone else on your team, then you can have more knowledge than that one person put together. So I think the teamwork aspect of it is really important. And it's been important for me to be able to kind of see that in action, especially as I'm going in and preparing for the workforce in an aspect of the industry that's very important for.
Caroline, you're talking about this sort of social skills in addition to the technical piece. As you started the competition versus after now having gone through it and won, what do you think your guess was going in about what the split between social and technical was in terms of that expertise versus what it looks like now?
I definitely thought it was a lot more technical than it is. And of course, it's at a very, I guess not more technical, but I thought there would be less social skills involved in it than there are. And so it's very, I don't know, it's reassuring to me to see that there are such, you know, high-level communication skills needed, though, because I think that that's something I've experienced in other industries and clubs I've been involved in. And so it's really good for me to be able to bring that skill over from other parts of my life into this and use it in a way that so that I can assist the team.
Mariah, as you're thinking about the way the team's recruited for students at UVA, what kind of emphasis has been placed on non-technical majors, and is that an area you see potentially evolving?
That's a good question. So we just started the team 2 years ago, so we're building out that recruitment process right now. We have not looked at majors specifically. So a majority of our team is computer science majors, but one's a mechanical engineer. So the recruitment isn't focused on any one major. We look at three main things. One is that technical skill. Even if it's just a base level technical skill, your ability to learn is super important. And then communication and teamwork. Those are our three main things. And we score them pretty equally, because you can have like all of the technical skills that you want, but if you can't communicate to the person next to you, either in like a calm space, and especially not in this high stress environment of a competition, you're not going to go very far, and you're going to run into a lot of difficulties. So we make sure that you have all three of those things, and that you can actually work together as a team, because that's what gave us that competitive edge. Our first year, we weren't the most technical team, but we were the best team and worked together the best, and especially had that communication. I think that was super important for us.
Interesting. So that cohesion becomes really critical.
For sure, especially in that stressful environment.
That stress keeps coming back. So Mariah, you're a veteran of NCCDC now and competitions of this type. What do you think has changed about these competitions since you started, and how do you see them evolving in the future?
Sure. So one special thing about CCDC is that you do have that actual mock environment, so you can see what it would actually look like in the real world. And you have active, very professional and very talented attackers attacking you. And I think one thing that this competition does really well is the debrief afterwards. And so not only, in the real world, if somebody attacks you, you don't get to go up to them tomorrow and be like, hey, so how'd you do that? How'd you get into that system? But like in this competition, you get to go the next day and you get to actually talk to the people that are attacking you. And they're not going to tell you everything. Obviously, they still have their few little tricks, but you can get feedback on like how they got in, but then feedback on how you did. Like, what did I put in place that made it really hard for you to do your job? Or what should I have done to block this attack? Because they're there to help you. You know, they are attacking you during the competition, but after that, like, they're there to help you improve, because really we're all trying to just build out our skills so we can improve the security of, you know, our workforce. I think that's something really special about the competition.
Do you see that as being something that other competitions are going to likely start to emphasize more in future?
I hope so. That's the thing, is it helps you to learn. Because if you just, you know, struggle against something and you don't get any feedback, it's really hard for you to improve and do better the next time. So I hope the competitions, you know, take note of this competition and how beneficial that feedback is.
Interesting. Caroline, for these kinds of events, right, there's a lot of emphasis, it sounds like, on building a comprehensive and diverse skill set. You can't necessarily just silo into one thing. How has your experience influenced your life in other places with this competition? What have you taken out of this that maybe you've applied in other domains of study? You've obviously got a couple of different majors running, or just other areas outside of school.
Yeah, so I think one thing I've really experienced through training for this competition is the fact that you can, you know, try something for a while, but with a computer, if you don't get it exactly right, it's not going to work. And so that perseverance and, you know, like making sure you do everything you do and talking to different people to try to get their feedback and kind of like never stopping until you get the solution has really helped me in other areas of my life. Because in other areas that are non-technical, that might not be the case. You can kind of like improve something a little bit until, you know, it's good enough. But if it's not perfect, that's not necessarily a problem. Whereas in the technical world, it is. And so I think that's really motivated me and helped me to kind of put that mental process in as I'm doing other areas of study. So like in my language studies, for instance, and kind of just really improving to the best of my ability until I feel like I've done the absolute best that I can.
Mariah, I'm curious for you. A lot of these competitions tend to be very gender balanced towards men, away from women. UVA's team seems like it may be an exception in that regard. Talk us through what you've seen in the competitive landscape and how you think it might be changing. Or is it at all?
Sure. So there's definitely an imbalance of gender in cybersecurity competitions. It's hard to gauge sometimes. So there's definitely more men than women in the competitions. And I think that in some cases it's moving in the right direction. But sometimes it just comes down to somebody who like wants to do cybersecurity, just like going out and doing it. Like it can seem really intimidating, especially if you don't see somebody else, you know, on a team or doing a competition that like looks like you or has similar experiences as you. And so part of it's the culture, you know, one of it's just awareness. So like if a competition doesn't understand that that's an issue in the first place and that they might have a culture that's not welcoming to others, they need to first be aware of that so they can make that change. And then after that, trying to make what changes it can and getting feedback from the community saying, okay, if you are interested but you haven't participated before, why? Why didn't you come in? Is there something that we can do about that? So really just first they need to be aware of it and then they need to get feedback and see what can I do about it to make it better. And then anybody who's interested, you know, kind of get out of your comfort zone if you can, or at least find like one other person to start it with and then kind of go from there and build your way up.
What's something, as you're thinking about these competitions generally, that a competition could do to try to drive that sort of diversity or create incentives for either teams from schools that haven't put teams in before or changing team mixes in terms of gender split? What's something that a competition might be able to do at that level?
That's a great question.
It's a hard one, I'm sure. Please.
I think one thing that I've observed, at least from my own perspective, is that I think, like Mariah was saying, that there might, you know, it takes an initiative to go out there and say, I'm interested in learning about this. But I think for me coming into this, if I hadn't seen Mariah in her role as captain and on the team, like I don't know if I would have gotten involved or to the extent I would have gotten involved that I did. So I think it's really important seeing people do that. And that allows other people to kind of, you know, say, you know, maybe I can do this. And so even though it is slow change, it's changed nonetheless. And so I didn't see the competition last year, but I did see definitely, you know, more women than I think I would have expected to see at the competition. And so I think it's really important to just kind of like starting the conversation about that. And like us as our role on the team as women, we have responsibility to go out and, you know, just like make ourselves visible to other people who might be interested in the field.
I think one of the other things is that so cybersecurity competitions, a lot of times, so they're competitions, right? And so, you know, people are competing to win. But I think making it a learning competition is also something that you could do to improve that. So somebody might be interested in cybersecurity, but they might only have a baseline knowledge. They might not know anything at all, but they know they're interested. So going into a competition where everybody's like, oh, I'm not going to help you. Like, I want to win this. Like, that's not super beneficial. But if you make it a learning competition and you have challenges that span a wide coverage, so like if you're a beginner or if you're an expert, there's something for you to try and to kind of build your way up. Because if you have a challenge and you're trying to work on it and you ask questions, you might have a baseline knowledge that you're missing that they might not know about. So also just having somebody that's willing to kind of teach you that baseline knowledge, because sometimes you can't build on something if you don't have something in the first place. So making competitions more learning based, I think, would be super beneficial for kind of closing that gap.
So bringing that sort of first step in and making it available to a wider group of people.
Yes, exactly.
That's fantastic. Thinking, Caroline, for you about the experience that you had with NCCDC, what does this competition look like in your mind relative to some of the more offensive oriented CTF style competitions? And do you feel like your skill set and your interest area for either of you is going to cross over into that space?
For me, I have only, I think, ever really participated in the defensive side of the competitions. So I have a limited perspective on that.
I have tried participating in some offensive competitions. I am not very good at that side of the realm. And I've acknowledged that and I'll work on it in the future. But I have some friends that have done the other side. I think they also feed really well into each other. Like if you do an offensive competition, you understand more about like how to defend the system because you know how they're getting in. But personally, red team is not really my thing, and that's okay.
It seems like it's working out well for you so far. Two championships in 2 years. So Mariah, I want to close with you. You've co-founded MetaCTF, right? And as we've understood, running cybersecurity competitions and training sessions for companies, organizations, and schools. For your personal experience, how important is emphasizing this kind of training at different levels? Maybe talk through a little bit about what MetaCTF does.
Sure. So at its base, MetaCTF runs cybersecurity competitions and trainings. And one of the things that we emphasize is that it's a learning competition. It's what we start with. It's what we say throughout the competitions. So we have challenges that are very simple challenges. We have like medium challenges. We have expert challenges. And we create a baseline of all of those. And we advertise it as no matter where you are, if you have any cybersecurity experience or you don't have any at all, like our competitions are for you. And if you want to just start, if you're just starting now, come to the competition, try a few challenges. If you don't understand them, that's okay. Like we'll help teach you. So it's a learning competition, but we usually make them team-based because you learn when you work with other people, they might have knowledge that you don't have and you might have knowledge that they don't have. So learning from each other is really important. And then one cool thing that we've seen is that sometimes teams will all work on the same challenge and they'll come up with different solutions to the same challenge. And then they'll share with each other how they solved it differently, which is super cool and super necessary in this field. We have very complex challenges that don't have one solution. They're very nuanced. And so working together to build out those different solutions, I think is super important.
Taking that forward, Caroline, as you're thinking about how early people can start preparing for these sorts of environments, whether they're actually training for a competition or just trying to get smart about cybersecurity, how early is too early?
It is never too early. I started about, I would say, after my sophomore year of high school, and I thought I could have even started earlier if I want to, and many people don't even start till college. I think what's awesome about MetaCTF, Mariah's project and company, is that it does get out to those high school communities and stuff. And I have seen other CTFs that do that as well, which I think is a really, really important step. But like starting even earlier, I mean, you can make simple challenges, you can make extremely difficult challenges, and just giving, I think, even middle schoolers the opportunity to participate in that. Like, you don't know what they're going to be capable of until you let them do it. So I don't know. I think it's never too early.
So I want to close. I'm curious to get from both of you one little story or one vignette that sort of gives us some insight into what being in the midst of this competition is like for somebody that's never been there, which I think is most of our listeners. So maybe start with Caroline and then go to Mariah. What's a moment that you remember or something that sticks out in your mind, whether it was through the regionals or was in that championship competition, that sort of captures what that process looked like for you?
I, this year, served as an alternate on the team. And so at regionals, I served as both an orange team end user to the competition, so kind of testing out people's services and stuff like that, and also just kind of running around the competition space and seeing what I could grasp was happening at any given time. And so I remember watching one of Mariah's executive briefings or whatnot, where she was presenting information to the CEO about like what was happening technically in the competition, or the mock CEO. And I remember watching some of those and coming out of that and just being like, Mariah, you did awesome. You nailed it. And I know, having watched all of those, I know that you're going to make us stand out. I think really rooting, like my role in that was kind of being a supporter of the team at that specific moment, which was important for them because it's a hard day. And I was just able to be kind of a positive person in that, which I think really encompasses the team spirit that I think, and collaboration, communication, teamwork that is so necessary in the competition.
That's amazing. That's a good anecdote and probably a good summary of that. Mariah, what about you? What's a story or a moment that stands out for you?
There was a moment in the national competition where basically everything was on fire. Like, things were just breaking. People were in different systems. We kept kicking them out. They kept coming back in. We're trying to figure that out. And, you know, people are running in and out trying to solve problems. And then, of course, the phone rings. And, like, one of the end users or, like, pretend customers was like, hey, my password's not working. Like, can you please help me with this? And we're like, sure, we can help with that. And then, like, everybody previous to that had just been, like, yelling. But, like, as soon as the phone rang, I was like, everybody, quiet. Hello, how can I help you today? And like just chaos going on in the background, but like we're still a business. And so we still have to maintain that like professional front. I don't know if we ever got their password changed though. So it's okay.
Supreme control and Zen under pressure, it sounds like, for both of you. That's fantastic. Well, congratulations again on the championship, and thank you guys for joining us. And thank you to our listeners for this episode of Digital Defenders, the Digital Streetcraft podcast from Atlantic Council Cyber Streetcraft Initiative. If you enjoyed this podcast, please find more from us on the web at atlanticcouncil.org or look for our hashtag on Twitter, ACCyber. Good luck to you both.
Thank you.